begin now. Be'ezus Hashem, part 25 of our Tefillah Vaad series. We're going to study tonight, Mitzvah Hashem, the 15th and the 16th brachas of Shmoina Esra, the brachas of Est Tzemach David and of Shema Kreilenu. Es Tzemach David Avdecho Meheiro Satzmiach. What does that mean? Es Tzemach David. Chazal tell us it's actually a medrash that Moshiach's name is in fact Tzemach. Tzemach is in fact the name of Moshiach, which means that when we discuss Es Tzemach David, we're not only discussing the Malchus of David, but this is a bakasha, this is a tefillah for Moshiach ben David. This is a specific bracha in which we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the coming of Moshiach ben David. And the first word that of course takes our attention is this word Es Tzemach. Tzemach literally means something that grows or sprouts. Why is the coming of Moshiach and the Geula in general referred to as a Tzemach or a Tzmicha? It won't be long, Emir Tzashem, 2.5 weeks or so on Rosh Hashanah, we say the same. Utzmichas Keren LeDavid Avdecha. Once again, we discuss and we refer to the coming of the Mashiach and the Geula as a Tzmicha, as a sprouting and as a growth. And the answer is that indeed the Geula is very much like a Tzmicha, like a growth. In what way? So in two main ways. Number one, the way that any tree or plant grows is the seed is planted in the ground, it rots, and just when you think it's gone forever, that, to the contrary, is the beginning of its growth. So too, Chazal tell us, the same is true with the Geula. When it comes to the Geula, there too also, before Mashiach comes, there will also be, as it were, a disintegration or a rotting. Or the period of time that Chazal referred to as the Ikvasa de Mashicha. The Ikvasa, the Akev, the heel, right at the end of the Golos, what will preempt the Mashiach is a period of great difficulties. So just like a seed, before it begins to thrive, it withers, it fades away, it rots, so too Klal Yisrael, before the Geula, they will also struggle. There will be tzoris and there will be nisyonis. And just at that moment when the Geula perhaps looks further away than it ever did, that's precisely the time that you can know that the Geula is on the way. And that's why we talk about Matzmiach Yeshua, right in the beginning of the Shmoneh Esra, in the second bracha, Matzmiach Yeshua. Because the Yeshua is indeed very much a Tzmicha. Just when it looks like the lights are being turned out, that's in fact when they will burn most brightly. This Yesoid is in fact the Yesoid that appears in the Chumash. When Yaakov Avinu has his famous dream and Nevuah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the bracha and he tells him the following, V'hoyo zaracho ka'afar ha'oretz, literally translated, and your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, uporatzo, and it will be at that moment that they burst forth in all directions. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, your offspring, Klal Yisrael, will be so multitude, there will be an enormous ribui, they will be so numerous, that they will be like the afar haaretz, and that's why they will sprout forth in all directions. But the Rishonim there, mainly the Sforno, does not translate the pasuk like that. The Sforno translates, V'hoyo zaracho ka'afar ha'aretz, and your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, which means they will be trodden on. They will be trampled on. That's what it means, ka'afar ha'aretz. It doesn't mean that they will be numerous like the dust of the earth. It means they will be trodden on like the dust of the earth. And in the words of the Sfarnu, at that very moment, when they are betachlis hashiflus, at the worst possible moment, at the lowest of the low, that's when tifroitz uforatzto, they will sprout forth. So this is the aside that the Sfarnu is explaining to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees Yaakov Avinu that there will come a time when Klal Yisrael will be trampled all over. They will be downtrodden, they will be persecuted. Don't give up. To the contrary, that's when uforatzto, they will most thrive. And in fact, the Sfarnu there concludes with the words. He says, the Teshua, the great salvation that we are all waiting for, which will come in the future, he writes, will be after a period of Rav Shiflus Yisrael, after a period of a great low for Klal Yisrael. So this is the Yisoid. That's why in this bracha we talk about the coming of the Mashiach and the Geula as a Tzmicha. Just like that seed rots, disintegrates, and that's really the beginning of its thriving, so too, that's how the Geula comes about as well. Just when Klal Yisrael look in their worst, most downtrodden state, that's the moment when Mashiach will come, just like a Tzmicha. The question, of course, that must be asked is, why indeed is that the case? Why must it be that Klal Yisrael have to endure a terrible ka'afar ha'aretz, a period in which they are stepped on and trodden on like the dust of the earth, and that, and only that, precipitates the geula? Why must that be the process in which Mashiach comes? And the answer is, if you look on that very pasuk in Parashas Vayetze, the Kli Yochor, one of the Gedolei HaMeforshim al HaTorah, he says exactly the same as the Sfarnu, but he adds a line of explanation. He too explains that Klal Yisrael will be like Afar Haaretz, the dust of the earth, they will be downtrodden, and then the Geula will come. But he adds a line, and he says the reason is because it's precisely at the time when things are most bleak. It's precisely at that time when it looks like all is lost that Klal Yisrael are most boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they've given up all hope, in his words, they will not be looking for tachbulois enoishios, which means any human intervention. When it comes a time in our history when we finally get the message that it's not going to be any prime minister or any United Nations or any king or any malchus at all, it will not be any human intervention that will save Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, it's at that point and at that point only that the Geula is finally can come. But as long as we think that it's going to be this president and this king and this United Nation and this league and this, then it will never happen. At the moment when we get that message, we're downtrodden by all the nations of the world. Jews is news. It's always our fault. The Jews are the nation that are to be blamed, persecuted, tortured, ridiculed. That's the moment when we put all our bitochen firmly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now I can bring the Geula. And that's why, es tzemach David, mehero tzatzmiach, it should be like a tzmicha, like a growth, where we are now enduring this ikvus of the Mashiach. It is of course well known that the Chofetz Chaim in his times already foretold many of the sorrows that are befalling us now, and he said that we are in the times of the ikvus of the Mashiach. It is precisely at this time that we can connect most, therefore, to this tefillah. We are seeing the process of tzmicha, the rotting, the disintegrating of the seed brings about its thriving. so too the Tzareis of Klal Yisrael brings about the Yeshua, brings about the coming of the Tzemach David, which is Mashiach. But there is another way in which the Geula and the coming of Mashiach is comparable to a Tzmicha. Just like a Tzmicha, when something grows, it is not a process that happens in an instant. It's stage by stage by stage. First the seed has to be sown, and then it has to disintegrate, has to be cultivated, has to be watered, has to be tended to, and eventually it grows. So too the Geula is a process, stage by stage, stage by stage. And in fact Chazal tell us that the Geula is compared to also like the morning. Just like the morning comes after a period of darkness, just before it becomes bright in the morning, it is most dark. And the Medrash explains, because you cannot have a period of darkness at one moment and then all of a sudden bright sunshine. There has to be a process, because if it didn't happen that way, then human beings would be blinded by the sudden appearance of the sun. It has to be a process. So too the Geula is a process. We get closer, we build ourselves up slowly, slowly towards the coming of Mashiach, and in that way too, it's comparable to a smicha. V'karanoi torum bishua secho. Karanoi, the keren, is the horn. We talk about this again in the Yom Neiroim davening of smichas keren l'dolid avdecha. Of course, the horn of the animal always represents its great strength. Strength of the animal is manifest in its keren. So too the malchus of David and the Mashiach who comes from David is the strength of the Mashiach. The strength of the malchus is what we are davening for when we mention the keren. We then say a very important phrase in this bracha: ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayoyim. Now these words have to be studied carefully. Ki means because. So if you translate this tefillah, we end up with the following statement. We are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Mashiach. And on what basis do we request that the Mashiach arrives? Ki lishuos ha-kibinu kol hayoyim. It is because that we are hoping for the Yeshua. This is a phenomenally important statement. The Yeshua will come if you await it. And that's what we're saying. We have that right, as it were, to request the Geula. Ki, because indeed, Yeshua's Chokininu Kol Hayoyim. If we wouldn't be awaiting the Geula, then we have no right to expect it to come. As we say every Shabbos morning, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? Because we are waiting. Or Yishlach leketz hayomim Mashiachenu, send us the Mashiach. Who will Mashiach save? Who will the salvation come to? Liftois mechakei ketz. He will redeem those who are waiting. And that's what we're saying in this davening. Ki Yeshuascha. It is well known, of course, that Chazal tell us anybody who is Misabel or in Yerushalayim will be Zoicha to see the Mashiach. And whoever is not Misabel on Yerushalayim will not see the Mashiach. And the Maharal explains very famously, if you're not Misabel on Yerushalayim, Avelus means lacking. If you're not lacking anything, then there's no need and no mokoim to provide you with a fulfilling of a hole if there is no hole in the first place. Avelus by definition means I feel that I'm missing something. So I can daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what I'm missing should be fulfilled. If you're not misabel on Yerushalayim and you don't feel that anything is missing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I have nothing to provide you with because you're in fact lacking nothing. It is precisely because we are lacking and we are awaiting the Geula that we have that right, as it were, to request that that ge'ula comes. But the other word in this phrase is equally important. Ki yishu'oscha. What does that mean, yishu'oscha? Your salvation. We have a similar pasuk, Yogel libi bishu'oscha. The Medrash in Tehillim is medai. It does not say yishu'osenu, our salvation. Rather it means yishu'oscha, your salvation. Like we have a pasuk, yishu'oscha kivisi Hashem. And the explanation is very, very important. As long as Klal Yisrael are in Golus, as long as Klal Yisrael are, as we mentioned before, the downtrodden nation, then that is the greatest source of Chilul Hashem in the world. And when Klal Yisrael are redeemed and the Mashiach comes, that will be the greatest Kiddush Hashem. So in fact, the coming of the Mashiach is, as it were, the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kiddush Hashem will be restored. We're not merely asking for the Mashiach to come because then our lives will be better, but rather because that will be bringing about the final Kiddush Hashem. There will be that day that everybody will finally see that Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. There's no greater Kiddush Hashem than that. But as long as that Bayoim Ahu has not come, there's atheism in the world, those who don't understand, those who don't see, those who don't want to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So we are davening for Yeshua, for the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about our Yeshua, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as it were, being saved. And that's what this phrase means, Ki Yeshua. We are waiting the day that there will be the final Kiddush Hashem, where everybody will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion in the world. And the last part of this phrase, Ki Yishuoscha Kivinu Kol Hayoyim. It is brought Lahalocha. Lahalocha. This is crucially important, that we all know that Chazal tell us that one of the first questions that is asked after 120 is Tzipisa Li Yeshua. Did you await the Geula? And if a person davens and says these words, it is brought lahalocha in the name of the Arizal, but a person should be mechaven. I am hereby awaiting the Geula, not just paying lip service and reading the words, but actually believing and feeling that I'm awaiting the Geula. This is therefore our ticket to be able to answer that question. If we're going to be asked, Tzipisa li Yeshua, the answer will be, yes, I did await the Yeshua, because in fact, every day I davened the Kavona, and I said, Ki Yeshuascha Ki Binu Kol Hayoyim. Very important to note, it does not say, Ki Vinu Kol Yoyim. Ki Vinu Kol Yoyim would translate as, I awaited every day. It doesn't say that. It says, Kol Hayoyim. Kol Hayoyim does not mean I awaited every day, it means all day, at every moment, at every moment. It wasn't so long ago in our history that it used to be commonplace, even for Shutei Am, not necessarily the big tzaddikim and the Talmidei Chachamim, they used to get up on a regular basis at Chatzos HaLaila to say Tikkun Chatzos. This was something that they lived with. The Chassam Sofer, it is recorded, used to say Tikkun Chatzos every night, and he used to say it b'dmois, in tears. He had a little flask in which he stored all those tears. All those tears that he shed throughout the year while saying Tikkun Chatzos did not just flow onto the floor. He kept them all in a flask. And on Erev Tisha B'Av, when he came to eat his Suda HaMafsekes, he dipped his bread in that flask of tears. The tears of the year that he cried over the Beis HaMikdash. The Daily Yisrael lived with this on a constant basis. It is, of course, well known as well that the Chofetz Chaim had a special set of clothes which he set aside for the coming of the Mashiach. This is the way Gedolei Yisrael lived. In one of the famous parashiyos in our history, not so long ago, it is well known that even though we have an extensive Gemara Bavli, but the Gemara Yerushalmi, we only have a rather truncated version. We don't have a Gemara Yerushalmi on every Masechta. A number of decades ago, in the time of the Chofetz Chaim, somebody appeared on the scene claiming that he's discovered the missing part of Yerushalmi, which was mainly pertaining to the Masechtas of Kodshim, which deal with Korbonos and the Beis Hamikdash. This person turned out to be an absolute hoax. He forged the whole thing. But can you imagine the enormous effect this would have had on Klal Yisrael? All of a sudden we have new Masechtas that were hitherto unavailable to us. Our whole study of Kodshim and Korbonos would have been different. And this person who forged the Gemara was obviously a Talmud Chacham, and he knew how to write the Gemara in the style of the real authentic Gemara, although he made it all up. And in fact, he came to the Chofetz Chaim. And an unbelievable twist in history. He came to the Chofetz Chaim and showed the Chofetz Chaim, look, I found the missing Yerushalmi. As we know, the Chofetz Chaim himself was a Kohen, and the Chofetz Chaim has Sforim on Kodshim, the whole set of Sforim, Likutei Halachos. And the Chofetz Chaim inspected this Gemara Yerushalmi, and he in fact gave a letter of approbation for this Gemara Yerushalmi. It was only in later development that it was proven, it transpired, it was all a fake and a hoax. So they went back to the Chofetz Chaim and they asked him, how could it possibly be that you fell for it, as it were, when it did transpire, the Rogatch of Agoyen and others proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that it was all a hoax, it was a fraud. So they asked the Chofetz Chaim, how was it that you gave your letter of support and you were convinced? And the Chofetz Chaim admitted, he said, through my terrific anticipation and excitement for anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash and Korbonos, that's why there was an oversight on my part. This is the way the Chofetz Chaim lived. Anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash, he was Rosh Verishay. He was a Kohen, as we mentioned. But even to the extent that he saw this Gemara Yerushalmi as a tremendously exciting addition to our whole limud of Kodshim. So this is really what we are saying. Ki Yishroscha Kivinu Kol Hayoy. Not just every day, but all of every day. All day, every moment, this is a sensation that we are supposed to be living with, as we mentioned before, that there is a void, a gaping void in our lives, not just in our physical lives, but in the Kiddush Hashem that we are trying to bring about, such that when Mashiach will come, it will be Yeshua's Tor. That will be the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we're davening for every day. In the next bracha, the bracha of Shema Koleinu, which is a very significant bracha for a number of reasons, but first and foremost, this is of course the last of the Bakoshes. This is the 16th bracha, and all that remains after this point, the last three of Hoydeya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's also significant because although it's not specifically asking for anything like Refuah or Parnasa, it is more the general Bakasha, and this is of course reflected LaHalacha. As we know, in the Bracha of Shema Koleinu, you can ask for anything you like. In Rufa'enu, you can add your additions as well, but of course, only that which pertains to Refuah. In Baruch Aleinu, you can make your additions to those subjects pertaining to Parnasa. But in Shema Koleinu, anything goes. So why is there, it is juxtapositioning. Es Tzemach David, followed by Shema Koleinu. So the Gemara in Megillah tells us, that once David HaMelech comes, meaning Moshiach, Kibbutz Shebo David, Bo Tfilah. The two are dependent on each other. And the Gemara backs this up with a pasuk, V'havyoisim el harakotshi, and then the simachtim the base tfilos. What does that mean? Obviously, even without Mashiach, we can daven. We do daven, and we're mechuyev to daven. But the Mefarshim explain that our struggle in davening is very much linked to the fact that there is no base hamikdash. Our tfilas are more difficult to be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is, as it were, a mechitza shel barazel, as long as there is no Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that's why we put these two brachas together. We daven first for the Tzmichas David, for the Geula, and then we bemoan the fact that we can't daven the way we should. Because if only David HaMelech and Mashiach would have arrived, then davening would be all that more easy for us. And this, therefore, is so important. When we sometimes wonder to ourselves in a moment of honesty, do I really miss the Beis HaMikdash? Am I really lacking something in my life? But if most of us were honest with ourselves, then we would say that, you know, we struggle a little bit or a lot with our avoda of tefillah, then we must know that those two things are dependent on each other. The reason indeed why we struggle with avodas tefillah is precisely because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So if we need to think to ourselves, do I miss the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, if it bothers you that you're not davening the way you should be, then yes, you're lacking the Beis HaMikdash. Kibben Shebo David, Bo Tefillah. Now it's interesting to note, David HaMelech is of course very much associated with Tefillah. The precious Sefer of Tehillim, our Sefer of Tefillos, was composed and compiled by David HaMelech. In fact, David HaMelech uttered those two incredible words which appear in Sefer Tehillim, and he said, "Va'ani Tefillah." Va'ani Tefillah does not translate as I daven, but rather I am an entity of Tefillah. I am Tefillah. I embody, I epitomize Tefillah. That's what David HaMelech was saying. This is not something that I do. This is something that I am. And the question, of course, is, what is the connection between David HaMelech and Tefillah? As the Gemara tells us, Kibbutz Shebo David Bo Tefillah. The answer is, we have to go back to basics, and this is a yesoid that we discussed extensively at the beginning of our Tefillah Vav series. Tefillah is called Avoido. Toiro, Avoido, Gimilus Chasodim, Avoido is Avoido Shebalei, that's Tefillah. The Maharal and others ask the obvious question, why on earth is Tefillah called Avoido? What is Tefillah? Isn't Tefillah just a process in which you ask for whatever you need, you then receive it? So why is that called Avoida? Doesn't look like Avoida to me. Says the Maharal that we are missing the point of Tefillah. This is the story that we discussed so many times. Tefillah is not a vending machine. It's not you put your money in and you get the Yeshua out. If that's what it was, then it could hardly be called Avoida. Nobody who puts their 5 shekel into the Coke machine and receives his can of Coke, nobody views that as Avoida. That's a very fair process. You give, you gain. It's a good deal. Tefillah, the Avoida of Tefillah, the way the Maharal defines it is an utter and total dependency on HaKadosh Baruch. It is a recognition that the source of everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the aside that you will all remember we discussed several times towards the beginning of our series. Tefillah is not a vending machine. Tefillah is the process by which we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reminding ourselves that He rules and reigns and controls every facet of our lives. And that's why it's considered Avoida. That is the Avoida of Tefillah, that total Hachno'ah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Avoida. It is not a process in which I'm hoping to get things. That's not the avoida filler, because that couldn't possibly be defined as an avoida. If we think about it for a moment, there is an enormous difference between a melech amongst the goyim and the melech in Klal Yisrael. The melech amongst the goyim, his job, his privilege is to reign supreme, can do as he pleases. Whereas the melech of Klal Yisrael, and of course the ultimate, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayom, his job is not just to be the boss. His job, to the contrary, is to promote HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus and bring Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the contrary, the Melech, as we know, has to walk around all the time with a Sefer Torah. That's his function. His job is to promote the Sefer Torah to Klal Yisrael, to bring Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the function of the king. And therefore we understand, of course, David HaMelech and Tefillah, they're really one of the same thing. The avoida of Tefillah is that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's precisely the role of David HaMelech. That was his role as Melech of Klal Yisrael, to be the gluing agent, to bring Klal Yisrael closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Va'ani Tefillah. So when we daven for this tefillah, and we begin with the words Shema Koleinu, the Mefarshim explain, Koleinu means our voice. It doesn't say listen to our words, it says listen to our voice. Sometimes we perhaps don't fully understand all the intricacies and the deeper meanings of all the words, but we daven with the sincerity that we can. So we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, at least listen to our voice, if not the words that we're saying, because we might not understand them. In this bracha also, there are a number of important yesodos of tefillah, which is not surprising, because this is the general bracha in which we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to accept our tefillah. This is the bracha that the word tefillah actually appears. Shema Koleinu, we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chus Berachim Oleinu, and you should mekabel es tefillah seinu. This is perhaps an opportunity for us to actually define the word tefillah. What is the definition of the word tefillah? Some of the Mefarshim explain that tefillah is the same letters as psil. Psil is like a wick. How do you make a wick? Or a rope? Take several threads and you spin them together. You connect them and you make them into one. One of the Shvatim, Yaakov Avinu's sons, is called Naftuli. Similar word to tefillah. Rashi there says, Ischabarati, I became connected. Tefillah is all about connection, which is exactly as we just explained before. Tefillah is that wick. Just as you take separate threads, you spin them together and they become then intertwined, so much so that it now becomes one entity. That's what's happening when you daven. When a person davens, tefillah is becoming that wick. You become one, connected with HaKadosh Baruch. We also now refer to tefillah using a different word, the tachanunim. We use the word tachanunim. In English, I think tachanunim is normally translated as our supplications. But we know this is a Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah says, do not make your tefillah keva. Rather, tachanunim. What's the difference between davening keva and tachanunim? This is a Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas, those of you in our morning shir will remember this, we learned this not so long ago. It says, don't daven keva, because then ein tefilosei tachanunim. And the Gemara gives two explanations. Keva means it's a burden. It's something that I need to get done. I think it was the Mirror Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Shmulevitz who once said very sharply, he was upset that Bochrim used to daven not in a shul, but in the local shiblach, where they used to chapa shachris. and Chaim Shmulevitz, he said it in Yiddish, maybe we'll try and translate, but I'll say it in Yiddish first. He said that the Shiblech is not a place, Nishka Platz, who me davent. It's not a place where you daven. The Platz was Megeta line, Nish Gidavent, or Megeta Reus Gidavent, which in English translates as, it's not a place where you daven, but rather it's a place where you go in not having davened, and you come out having davened, the job done. That's called Tfilas Keva. Keva means there's a chore on my list of activities to do for the day. I've done it, it's off my back. Tachanuni means I supplicate in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just as a job done, but rather as a recognition that this is my opportunity during the day to connect with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. This, by the way, is not just a hashkafic outlook, this is halacha. It's a mission and obeis, which in fact the Sefer Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says, Mufurish, that one has to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not as a masa, as a burden that needs to be lifted and got rid of, but rather the tachanuni. The Gemara tells us that there is another idea. Davening Beloshon Keva is not just a reference to our attitude. Is this a burden that I have to get rid of? Or is it an avoider of ahava? But keva also means the tone in which you daven. A person can daven in a monotone, just go breeze through the words, or you can daven beloshen tachanunim, in which you beg the Rebbeinu Shalom. We have mentioned many times the wonderful moshel, and this is so timely because it's less than 2 weeks that we're going to be davening Be'ez Hashem the Slichos. And in the Slichos we say, Kedalim or Keroshim. It is as paupers, Dofaknu B'dolosecha, that we bang on your door. And I heard a number of years ago, whilst in London, I heard from a Mashkiach, from Atisyol Solomon, Shiarech Yom B'Shonim, he said he heard in the name of Rav Shalom Shadron, Zechet Tzadik Livracha. He said, what does that mean, like poor people bang on doors? Poor people do not bang on doors, he asked. Poor people stand outside waiting very timidly and embarrassed. They hope that maybe the Balabais will open the door and then maybe they can seek an audience with the Balabais. They don't bang on doors. Aniyim don't pound on the door. What does it mean that we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a poor person who bangs on the door? So Rav Shalom explained such a magnificent explanation. He said, when the poor person is hungry and tired and cold, he has no food, he has no clothes, he has nowhere to sleep, and he knocks on that door, hoping that somebody will help him, indeed, he does not bang on that door, he knocks very timidly and shyly. Do you know why? Because he's thinking to himself, if there's no answer here, there's always door number two. And indeed, when there's no answer at door number one, he moves on to door number two, and then to three, and then to four. And so on and so forth, until he reaches the last door in town. And the realization finally hits, there is nowhere else to turn. If there's no answer at this door, I'm stuck. Hungry, starving, and homeless for the night. On that door, he bangs with all his might. There is no contingency plan anymore. There is no plan B. There is nowhere else to turn. Said Rav Shalom Shadron, this is what we're expressing in the Slichos. We don't approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the Oni who knocks timidly on the first door, thinking that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer, I always can go elsewhere, I have a contingency plan. No. I approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that poor man at the last door, when he realizes this is the final stop. Ein lonu lehishoin. I have nobody to rely on. Elo alavinu shebashamayim. A wonderful interpretation of the slichos that we'll be saying in 10 days or so. And this is what's meant in davening. When we refer to the tachanunim, the supplications, do not make the tefillah keva, means don't just say the words in a monotone and we'll see how this goes, and if it works, it's good, and if it doesn't work, that's fine also. Chas v'shalom. Davening is said, beloshen tachanunim, with the understanding, with the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only source, and if there's no tshuva here, then I have nowhere else to turn. Finally, we say in this bracha, Umilfonecha Malkeinu Reikom Al Tashiveinu. A very important yesod. We discuss this also in the Tzilavad. Occasionally, and maybe more than occasionally, we don't necessarily see that our tefillahs are answered in the way that we would like. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has obviously decided otherwise. But it doesn't mean that the tefillah was unanswered. No tefillah goes to waste. Reikom al teshiveinu, do not return us empty-handed. And let's just finish off with the moshul of the Dugma Magid. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, should I tell Avraham Avinu about the overturning of Sodom? And then what does the next pasuk say? Yes, I will tell Avraham Avinu because he's going to be a great nation. What's that got to do with Sodom? So the Dugma Magid says the famous moshul. Two people come to the suit shop. One of them is busy trying on a suit and he's absolutely fussy. It's too long, it's too short, it's too dark, and it's too light, until eventually he gets a perfect fit. His friend buys a suit, it sort of fits, yes, maybe yeah, maybe not, and he's happy. Why is he less makbid? So the first one says, I'll tell you why. He says, you are buying the suit for yourself, you have nobody else in mind, you have no family, you have no friends. So of course, if it doesn't fit you, then it's a waste of money. He says, I have a large family, I have a number of friends. Worst comes to worst, the suit doesn't fit me, I've got plenty of people who could put it to good use. I need to be less fussy. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should I tell Avraham Avinu about Sodom so that he can daven for them? What's the point? Their fate has already been sealed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael are going to be a great nation. And therefore, if the tefillahs of Avraham Avinu don't help for Sodom, they will help further down the line for the great nation of Klal Yisrael, his descendants. Because no tefillah is ever wasted. And even if Avraham Avinu governs specifically for Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beroit Chochmosai decided otherwise, but the tefillah was not gone to waste. The Chazon Ish was once approached and asked, I can't believe it, said the Shoyl. There is an irreligious settlement here in Eretz Yisrael, totally secular, and a phenomenally large amount of them have been Chayza B'Tshuva. It seems to be make no sense whatsoever. They received no religious education. It doesn't make sense. The Chazon Ish was totally unmoved. What do you mean it doesn't make sense, he said. Maybe they all had grandmothers who davened, they shed tears when they lit their Shabbos candles that their children should be Shomrei Torah or Mitzvahs. It didn't perhaps work for the children, so it worked for the grandchildren. Why are you so surprised? No tefillah goes to waste. It's the woman, an Asia Bas Yisrael, davens for that flock of her children. A sincere tefillah, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that tefillah won't help the child, but it doesn't go to waste. It'll help the grandchildren at least. And that's this tefillah, Milfonecha Malkeinu Reikom Al Tashiveinu. No tefillah should go to waste. Even if we don't see perhaps the obvious fulfillment of the tefillah, but please ensure that the tefillah helps me or someone somewhere down the line. Be'ezus Hashem, we should see a kiyum of this, especially at this time of the year when the main avoider is, of course, in the Arachamim Ba'aslichos, we are so engaged in tefillahs, then Be'ezus Hashem, all of our tefillahs should be answered, L'toyim, to L'rot.
Amen. Shkai.